Hey, welcome to your weekly Cornish Baiting. It is me, Kira, and I am joined by Uma.
Hello.
And no one else. I was so ready to say someone else's name, but I just had to stop myself.
Your brain was going to automatically say Nick's name.
Yeah. And Nick's here, but he just can't speak. It's fine.
he's sitting in the cook chair.
Yeah, podcasting cook chair. That's okay. No, for real, that's what happens when I listen back to an episode I'm not on, is like I'm walking my dogs trying to join in on the riffs. Oh, like I can't.
I listened to zero of our episodes, so that never happens to me.
No, because I have to do the, like, the Instagram and social media posts, so it's a lot of like, what the fuck was this episode even about?
Nobody knows. We don't even know when we record.
Yeah. The latest bonus episode, I don't think anyone realized, was about the Irish farmers' protests based on the title and the way I promoted it. Oh, well. That's what we're talking about today. It's a surprise. No. You should just listen anyway. Exactly. What we're talking about today, we've got some a main topic, but like we got some news.
Yes,
some breaking news.
Yeah,
as of recording.
Sorry, it's so silly. I mean, it's not silly, but it is silly because there was a quote-unquote attempted assassination attempt. That's not.
Yep.
Okay, those are words.
There was an assassination attempt, or there was an attempted assassination. Yes, yeah, I see what
you're saying. Yeah, like I said twice the same word. Anyway, on Trump. Mm-hmm. But it's coming out right now, like literally right now as a recording, that he might not even have been the main target. Like, it seems that the guy is saying that he was targeting like Trump administration officials. So it would have been really funny if he just wanted to kill, like, I don't know, like a random, like, what's her name? Levitt, like the press.
Oh, person, sure.
Woman, whatever.
I mean, it's hard to get into the mind of someone who would go and do this, but
yeah, but
I think your politics are out of whack if you don't recognize that, like, this whole thing revolves around Trump, though, right? Like, it is real kind
of.
No,
of course,
like,
yeah.
Who do you kill in the Trump administration that's not Trump, that's like, this will have an effect?
Yeah, true. But it just, like, that's what I was saying, that it would be funny if he just had, like, a personal vendetta against this random person in the Trump. And it's just like, today is the day. They're going to be here. And today I get to kill this random person.
Yeah, it's their ex or something.
Yeah, no, literally, exactly.
It's not political at all.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's also really weird how Trump is just using it as an ad for his ballroom in the White House. You know, how he literally teared down like a, what was it, like a 19th century beautiful ballroom,
like
or like wing, exactly. And he's just building his gaudy Trump hotel ballroom there. But I think it has been stopped because someone
it's not assassin proof.
Exactly. No. But like somebody brought them to court over it or something like that. Because it was like protected, I don't know, something.
Oh yeah, like this is the kind of thing that like a functioning country would have just like a bunch of boffins from a historical society stop you from doing, like.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think the it's currently being stopped, like the construction of it, it's stopped, and he's literally just using this quote unquote assassination attempt as as an ad for his ballroom, being like, see, if we had the correspondence dinner at our ballroom in the White House, which doesn't even have rooms on top of it, it would have never happened, and we would all be good. As if, like, in any case, nothing happened because it was literally one guy against the whole Secret Service of the United States.
You only gotta be lucky once, I guess, but you know.
Yeah. But it's not like a rally that is so much easier to, you know, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Like where there's a huge crowd of just the general public that you can just like mingle. Like for this, I'd at least have to put on like a tux or something. That's effort.
But also, have you seen the video? It's so ridiculous. It's literally just him, this 31-year-old dude, just sprinting in the middle of the Secret Service. The whole of the Secret Service is just chilling, talking to each other, like da da da. And then this one guy goes like fucking like Naruto run almost in between them. Super fast. And then they all like look at each other like, what the fuck just happened? And then they draw their guns and then they go like chase him. But it's literally just like, how can you do your job so badly that this lanky ass 31-year-old is just running in the middle of you guys?
Yeah.
And getting, I mean, he didn't get far. He was stopped in the hallway anyway because I don't think he knew exactly where the actual room was. Like, he never even made it. But yeah, I don't know. It's just.
This has got me down. Jesus Christ. So, okay. You said Naruto run. And I was trying to like riff in my head Secret Service talk of just like a copy over. We've got like a jutsu situation here. Someone's going to try to do some sort of forbidden ninja technique. some shit like that. Like just a bunch of like hamburgers made in Cardinish and given a gun, just like talking about this. But that's when I realized I don't actually know what Trump's Secret Service name is.
It has a like a special name.
Yeah. So they all
is
get
Secret Service the dead name of the Secret Service.
So it started in the era of, I believe, walkie talkies, like when they all got like the earpieces and stuff, because the idea was.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay, sorry. I thought you meant that like the Secret Service itself has a different name under the Trump administration.
Oh, that they made. Well,
okay. Well, probably he calls them something weird. Probably.
Like, do we know if it was Secret Service? Was it not just like one of the weird ice wings that, like, because that's we did the episode about ice being in Italy and how like ice is just being turned into his personal like Praetorian guard.
No, if it was ice, they would have just killed the guy. And he's alive, so you know. And it was Secret Service. And also people are also saying that the FBI guy, I forgot his name, something Pato maybe, I don't know. He's gonna be fired for sure. Because how the fuck do you miss
Cash Patel.
Cash Patel.
Cash Patel,
I mean, he's the most ridiculous person to, like, he's so disgusting. He's so weird. What a little weirdo. Like,
he is the most successful podcaster of all time.
That's the vibe. That's literally the vibe.
No, he is. Like, he's a podcaster.
Oh, wait, he's a podcaster?
Yeah.
Actually?
He was like, yep.
Oh.
Yeah, that's kind of where he came in. I'm sorry. He's been great. He's been every article. I'm trying to recall some of the good bits, but like every article about his like running of the FBI has just been fucking hilarious. Like using a private jet to fly his girlfriend to like, I think it was like an NFL game where she was scheduled to sing the national anthem, and then expensing that to the FBI, complaining that the windbreakers for the FBI aren't intimidating enough.
What? They literally say FBI on them. Like, what else do you need?
A skull. I don't know.
Like
he literally signs his emails, memos, tweets, whatever, with a dollar sign. Because
oh my god,
he's Cash Patel.
Oh my god. That is so pathetic. He's such a crypto bro weirdo. Oh my god.
Yeah. I think he's like, he's very much that kind of like tech bro crypto scamming kind of space. And then like, At the same time, there was that, I don't know if you've caught wind of this at all, but like a news anchor in the United States, her mom was like kidnapped and they still haven't found her.
Yeah.
And like he's like personally sworn to solve that situation. And I think it's been over a month.
She's dead. Like, she's I saw that. She's also like, apparently the news anchor is like really beloved. She's one of those people that has been doing the news for like 100 years, so fair. Everybody loves her. Yeah. How can you personally swear that when it's been like, you do that in the first hours of the investigation, not a month in? He is a weirdo. And then there's a video of him just hiding under the table at the dinner, which is which is, I mean, it's what you have to do, right? If there's an active shooter or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, you're the director of the FBI. Shouldn't you be running with the president? Like, you know what I mean? Like, maybe not the president, but like, be not run towards the shooter, obviously. I mean, if you want to do that, Cash, it's fine. But
don't worry, Mr. President. I have the Shinkansen. I can defeat him.
Exactly. But I don't know, it's just like, it was such you know how Trump is basically, he in the end doesn't really care that much about people's politics, he just has to like them. Like how Mamdani charmed the fuck out of him, because Mamdani is a charming person. Like, Trump is very much a person that it's like, if he likes you as a person, he can tolerate politics or
he's
whatever.
Kind of like weirdly, I mean, this is too out there, but he is kind of weirdly apolitical himself. Like, he doesn't seem actually particularly passionate about politics, more than just like the power it gives him.
Exactly. It's more about like literally like charisma, like and stuff like that. So Kash Patel has no risk. No risk. And I think Trump is going to get the ick when he sees that video of him hiding. And he's just going to be like, okay, he needs to go.
Yeah. I mean, he did that with, like, you have to be useful to him. Because he does, he does put up with a lot of people he hates. Like, I think it's pretty well understood that he hates J.D. Vance.
Oh, yeah.
But he was like, J.D. Vance was like put there by Palantir effectively, and Palantir helped him. So he's like, Cash, I don't know what Cash brings to the table, but he got rid of Musk as soon as Musk kind of like claimed that he could win that by-election for him or whatever, and then he lost it. Is that Minnesota, I believe?
Yeah, I can't remember. But, you know, exactly. So I think he's going to get the ick, because he's not particularly useful.
No.
Any other crypto bro could bring the same to the table at the FBI. So, yeah, but the fact is just, Trump is just using this as an ad for his ballroom, pretending that he's like the greatest victim of the world. He literally, this man, I just don't understand how anybody can take him seriously. He literally was like, I've studied assassinations and they always go toward against the most powerful and most important people. It's like, what? What do you mean you studied assassinations? Like, what are you talking about?
Also, like, in the late 1800s, like, anarchists were just trying anything with anyone with any degree of life.
Literally, famously, they don't always go against, like, the most powerful people. He just thinks he's fucking JFK or something.
The ones you remember.
Yeah,
obviously.
No, exactly.
Like, we all remember Abraham Lincoln getting shot.
Yeah, exactly.
So, two things before we move on from this topic. One, just to satisfy my own need, the Secret Service code name for Donald Trump is Mogul.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. I think they might change them in unconsecutive terms. I'm not entirely certain. Renegade was Obama, and Celtic was Biden, which I'm sure he loved.
What a weird ass.
Yeah, right. They're all kind of weird. I think they're picked for, like, they're clear through the kind of shitty mics on earpieces. So they are kind of like picked for having certain consonant sounds in them and things like that, and being kind of punchy. The second thing was, this was the story about Kash Patel I was trying to remember. In late 2025, there was a report that alleged that when Kash Patel arrived in Utah after the Charlie Kirk assassination, he demanded that when he was on the scene that he should have an FBI raid jacket as well, which is not usually what the head of the FBI wears. They usually wear suits. Because it's more of like a functionary position rather than in the field. The only thing on hand was a medium-sized women's FBI windbreaker that he then wore on the crime scene of Charlie Kirk's assassination.
Style icon. Yeah. Breaking also, gender roles.
How did I forget that? There's an example of someone who was assassinated who wasn't actually very powerful.
There you go. No, exactly. He has been more fucking talked about since he's dead than before. Which is exactly what they wanted. But, oh, speaking of Kirk, there's a video, because obviously Erica Kirk was at the fucking dinner because she's everywhere. And there's a video of her being escorted out after literally everything has happened. Like, they're all good, fine. Nothing has happened. Yeah. And she literally, she's crying, but it's such a fake, like, it's not crying. You know how, I mean, you're a dad, so you know this. You know when toddlers just want attention and they're crying, but it's just the face. There's no tears. You know that they're not actually sad or whatever, or hurt or upset. That was her face, literally. And then she sees that someone's recording her, and she just goes, I just want to go home. She just keeps... It's just like, oh my God, she should be a soap opera actress. She could make... Well, I mean, obviously she makes much more money being the scam artist that she is now, but...
God, I'm so interested to see that kind of like plod along through the years. What's going to be her whole deal?
I'm telling you, marrying JD Vance after Usha Vance goes missing or something.
Yeah, Usha. How do I tie all of this in? Usha was actually the only victim of what just happened. The one shot connected, and it was with Usha.
Exactly. She was just randomly part of the Secret Service.
We're going to announce it like 36 hours after the event happened. Just like, people will be like, hang on, I thought I saw her like a Jabba Juice between now and then. No, you didn't.
Yeah, literally. Also, I think she wasn't at the dinner, which is so
strange. No, she was now. Anyway, speaking of the Yanks and their antics, we gotta talk about the reason JD Vance is there to begin with, which is Palantir and their little you ever read Umberto Eco's like all the different signs of fascism, like all the different qualities of fascism, and Umberto Eco's like, when you combine all of these, you get like fascism. Palantir kind of just like wrote that out as their like own manifesto. Would you like to hear this manifesto? Because you haven't seen this at all.
No, exactly. I don't know. Yeah. I haven't. I'm not keeping up with Palantir.
That's fair. They're kind of terrifying. So what this is this was tweeted out by their Palantir's official account. And it is a 22 bullet point summary of the CEO founder of Palantir, Alexander Karp's book, which is, I don't know how valuable your book is if you can summarize it in 22 points, but I digress.
Yeah.
Okay. Some of them kind of start a little normal, or like, but then it gets weirder. Number one, Silicon Valley owes a moral debt to the country that made its rise possible. Gotta hand it to America. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Two, this is weird. We must rebel against the tyranny of the apps. Applications in this case. Is the iPhone our greatest creative, if not crowning, achievement as a civilization? The object has changed our lives, but it is, may also now be limiting and constraining our sense of the possible. Sure.
Okay. I think it was
probably the car.
What a weird object to be like, this is the best creation. But okay, sure.
Very, very.
I do agree. Please stop making me download apps for everything. I agree with Palantir. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, yeah. you're ready for like Chinese tech future of the everything app, like just the one app that does everything.
Yeah, please, honestly.
Okay, three. Because I know what the other latter half of these are. The first couple are just insane. It's weird whiplash. Number three, free email is not enough. The decadence of our culture or civilization, and indeed its ruling class, will be forgiven only if the culture is capable of delivering economic growth and security for the public. Sure. Free email is the
what
problem.
What does that even... Okay, yeah. Cool.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Number four, the limits of soft power, of soaring rhetoric alone, have been exposed. Sure, man. That's
okay. The tone is shifting. getting us, prepping us for the next points.
Mr. Full Stack Coder is getting a little geopolitical with it. Okay, let's go for it. Also, I don't really describe soft power failing as what's really going wrong with the United States right now. I think it's been a lot of attempts at hard power that have not really worked.
Literally.
Bombing that school in Iran was an example of soft power.
exactly.
Christ.
Fuck.
Number five, the question is not whether AI weapons will be built, it is who will build them and for what purpose. Yeah, okay. If we don't do it, someone else will. Sure.
Or literally, if we do it, it's fine, but because we're the goodies, but you know.
We think we're great and we think everyone else is kind of stupid.
Exactly.
Number six, national service should be a universal duty. There we go. Mandatory conscription.
Bring back la mili, it was called in Spain. Mili.
Hey, remember like 2 points ago where you were talking about email, man?
Yeah, what the... Okay, yeah, whiplash, as you were saying.
Number seven, if a U.S. Marine asks for a better rifle, we build it, and the same goes for software. Sure, fine. eight, public servants need not be our priests. Okay. So this is a weird statement, but the explanation. Any business that had compensated its employees in the way that the federal government compensates public servants would struggle to survive. Now.
You literally cut back? Like, okay, that, whatever.
So yeah. This is your kind of crank millionaire. The state is bloated. Everyone who's a civil servant has a cushy existence. Definitely not people who work in tech companies have a cushy existence. That couldn't be the case.
Yeah.
Who
makes so much more money than these people?
Oh yeah, and then get given weird stock packages and everything. The only people in the United States who are living like social democracy are like people in tech companies because of like the company benefits. Number nine, we should show far more grace towards those who've subjected themselves to public life. Don't be mean to politicians.
That is so... What are these points? It's just going back and forth with like weird as... What is the... What? That is so stupid. Don't be mean. It's like that guy. Do you remember that meme of that guy who's like, leave Britney alone. It's basically that right now.
Absolutely. Stop being mean to him. He's just the prime minister, the architect of all of your misery.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Number 10. The The psychologization of modern politics is leading us astray.
What does that even mean? What?
Yeah, I'm going into the, those who look at the political arena. Okay, it's like people who make their whole life politics will be sad. And it's like, I wrote a 22-point manifesto.
That's
but like,
so
it's also,
okay.
It is dumb. I don't agree with it. I'm also like, dude, you wrote a 22-point manifesto and a book expounding on it. Like, it seems like if anyone's dedicated their lives to politics.
But it also feels very much like, it's okay. Don't think too much about it. Don't think about politics. It's fine. You know what I mean? Like, it's this kind of like, oh, you'll be very unhappy and you don't want to be unhappy. So don't think about politics. Mm-hmm. Don't think critically about these people and about these politicians and about politics, you know?
I'm gonna summarize a couple of these because we need to get to the meat. 11, like, hey, don't be too happy when we kill people, but you know, we are gonna kill. The atomic age is ending is number 12, implication being like AI is gonna be the new nuke. Don't buy that for a second. Number 13, no other country in the history of the world has advanced progressive values more than this one, the United States.
Oh, fuck off. What the fuck? They let anybody write things nowadays.
They do, yeah.
Jesus Christ. I should get a book deal. Somebody fucking sign me up. I swear to God. Fuck.
You have seen that video of this guy jumping around at that one talk, right, where everyone was like, hey, legally, all I can say is this looks like the antics of someone who's on a lot of cocaine. Not saying that you are, but Mr. CEO of Palantir, what's going on?
I have not watched that video, but I believe it. I mean,
I believe they responded with...
Cease and desist.
No, I think they stated he had autism or something. I'm like, dude,
coke induced autism.
Yep. We found the cause. Finally, we can get RFK can rest easy now. Oh my god. Yep. So America's great. Number 14. American power has made possible an extraordinarily long peace.
What? The fuck? Okay, sorry, this is so fucking ridiculous. Peace to who? Peace to who?
World War II ended, and all that happened.
And nothing else,
Nothing happens! Like, all that happened after that was, like, Korea, Vietnam, Angola, Afghanistan, Iraq and Kuwait, Iraq and Iran.
All the coups in South America, all the coups in Africa.
Holy did we go to Afghanistan 3 times? I think one of them was the Soviets, but
Jesus.
Yeah, stupid. Number 15, the post-war neutering of Germany and Japan must be undone.
So they can ally themselves with us now.
Yeah.
Neutral. Lord Jesus.
Yeah, because it's this whole thing of like, there's a little bit of World War II worship in that, isn't there? Because it's like
100%. It's the only war that they think has ever happened, and that because literally it's really like the only war where they did do something good, which was the quote-unquote like fight against fascism. Yep. So like they tried to be like, no, we were the obviously Soviet erasure forever, that's happened since the war ended, but I think it's the only one that they're fully like, they can be like, no, look at how good we were because we did fight the Nazis, because in their head the Nazis of the Second World War are not the same as the Nazis that they are themselves now, you know.
Well, this is, but there's always something really implicit about this, the whole rearming Germany discussion, because I'm like, I don't want Germany to rearm because I really liked my living my time there. Like, Berlin will ever forever be etched in my heart, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I don't like militarized societies, full stop. But there's also this kind of implication of just like, if we let Germany militarize, oh, we'll let them off the leash again. They were so powerful. It's like, dude, they lost.
Yeah. Literally.
They lost. They were. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
But there's this, it's that kind of History Channel thing of like, here's the documentary about the great wonder weapon they made. And it's like, it didn't fucking work. They yeah. lost.
No, exactly. No, but exactly. It's this whole, you know, it's like a fetish almost of like, no, the look, for all their faults, the Nazis were so advanced and they had such great weapons and had such great blah, 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 blah. No, like, they were just a product of their time. Like, they were not more advanced yeah. than other fucking armies. It was just how fast they caught up to other armies after World yeah. War One. That was like, oh shit, okay. But like, they're like, oh, this weapon and the other one. As you said, it didn't fucking work. They obviously lost.
Yeah.
They were spending way too much money on finding the fucking Holy Grail, you know? Like, they were...
Yeah. And then the end of it, you, like, die pissing yourself at the hands of, like, a woman from a Siberian tribe who's just holding the first gun she's ever fucking seen.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. The... Number 16, we should applaud those who attempt to build where the market has failed to act. And then he talks about how great Musk is for a bit. I'm going to ignore that.
For fuck's sake, yeah. We don't want that negativity in our podcast.
17, Silicon Valley must play a role in addressing violent crime.
Oh my God.
I've got some statistics about a particular race. Being violent towards a particular other.
Does he say anything else? Just that?
Yeah. Many politicians across the United States have essentially shrugged when it comes to violent crime, abandoning any serious effort to address the problem or take on any risk with their constituencies or donors in coming up with solutions, experiments, and what should be desperate bid to save lives.
Oh my God, fuck up. So what? Facial recognition? That is like...
Yeah, it's also just
RoboCops.
Like RoboCop. It is just the most ideologically blind view of mm-hmm. American politics for the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. Because, like, every local politician, Democrats in the United, like, Democrats included, have been very fixated on crime.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Like, Hillary Clinton's comments on, like, black men becoming super predators that she made in the 90s is, like, what drove, like, her to lose to Obama when they were going against it in the, like, Democratic primaries back in, like, what, 2008?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this shit has been around for a long time. American politics has been grossly obsessed with crime. Stop and frisk was a living reality in New York for so long. And it's just like, no, that didn't happen. And everyone's just been giving criminals like a handshake and a thumbs up and letting them do whatever they want or something.
Yeah. So ridiculous. Okay.
18.
And dangerous. Yeah, gone. 18.
18. The ruthless exposure of the private lives of public figures drives far too much talent away from the government service.
Oh my God, dude. Why is this the second point he makes about not being mean to public figures? Fuck off. If you can't handle the heat, get out of the kitchen. Like, what are you on about?
19. The caution in public life that we unwittingly encourage is corrosive.
Okay?
Yeah. Number 20. The persuasive intolerance of religious belief in certain circles must be restricted.
Okay, what circles are you talking about? And who do you want to restrict? Like...
The... The description is actually great. The elite's intolerance of religious belief is perhaps one of the most telling signs that its political project constitutes a less open intellectual movement than many within it would claim. So he believes that the
that
elite
Christians
circles
are
the
being
persecuted. Yeah,
persecuted. By who?
The
elite?
A barista who was mean to me is the elite.
A barista with blue hair was mean to me.
Yeah.
What the fuck? And he's not the elite, you know?
He's definitely
just
not
some random guy.
No, he's not. That barista that had a piercing in a place that made me think about my life, she was mean, and she's definitely the elite.
Oh my God. Words have no meaning for these people.
21, a real banger.
Oh, Jesus.
Some cultures have produced vital advances. Others remain dysfunctional and regressive.
Oh my God. So we need to fix them. We need to bomb their schools.
So what I'm saying is there's a people and they're above, and there's another people who are under. I think the Germans have a word for this.
Jesus fucking Christ, man. Okay.
22. We must resist the shallow temptation of vacant and hollow pluralism. We in America, more broadly the West, have for the past half century resisted defining national cultures in the name of inclusivity. But inclusion into what? Yeah,
there you go. Yeah. The fucking replacement.
Theory. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Wow.
Womp womp. What a little freak. What an absolute
what
little freak.
What a weirdo. Oh my God. Also, you can I hate when you can tell when someone thinks they're so smart and they're not. You know what I mean? Like, he thinks he's so intellectual, but he's using words he doesn't even know what they mean.
Yeah. There's a bit of that. There's a bit of like... There's a bit of circular, or like, you know, as you probably pointed out, two of those points were basically don't be mean to politicians, just kind of phrased differently. Probably couldn't consolidate that, man.
It was anyway. Like, no, it has to be 22 points, so I have to add. Jesus, so stupid.
It has to be 1,488 points, something along those lines.
Jesus. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of that. We're going to talk about a party that is not right wing, definitely didn't move right wing at all, and definitely wasn't that from the outset. Who would claim such a thing?
Mm-hmm.
A party that I'm for the entire episode are going to refer to as the C's, and Uma can be very gracious and say their full name right now.
Ciudadanos.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Welcome to the episode where I pronounce things wrong.
Ciudadanos, which also literally means citizens.
Citizens, yeah. So. But it's one of the ones that, like, I'm happy to translate some party names. I'm happy to keep, like, when the brand is strong enough. Like, I don't think anyone's translating Podemos as a for instance in, like, English language media. It's
no,
we can
exactly.
or something, isn't it? Or, but like when the brand is strong enough. But also, I never wanted to translate Ciudadanos because it was like, it's just too it's just like too vague a word in English to be the citizens.
Yeah.
The citizens. What the citizens? Where the citizens of Spain? Oh, the people of Spain. No.
No. Yeah. Exactly. But also, like Ciudadanos itself is not so important either. So it's like, I mean, in the sense that like. You know, Vox, Podemos, PP, all of these are big parties that people outside of Spain might have heard about. But Ciudadanos, I think, I mean, they're going to know now because you're going to give us the whole rundown. But it makes no sense to translate either.
Yeah. All right. So this is a party in Spanish politics that I became fascinated with while they were like still a thing, or probably what we can now say in retrospect was their autumn years, because for me, a lot of it was, but okay, in retrospect, their complete collapse is fascinating to me. They were like, they rose very quickly, they mm-hmm. fell very quickly, and there was genuine chat of them being like one of the next big parties of Spain, eternal. There was even like chat of them replacing PP as like mm-hmm. the main kind of center right force of Spain.
Yeah.
That's gone. The cast that from yeah. your mind. That's they're, not that's not yeah. a possibility.
They're dead and buried.
Yeah. And there was also this little bit of like, for me, seeing Ciudadanos and seeing like just their whole vibe. And as like someone who doesn't speak Catalan, Spanish, whatever, and just looking at them and going, I immediately get this. I have seen this one before and I didn't like the ending. Like, I like this is, I think they just so perfectly encapsulate the hollowness of anything that purports to be like a centrist party.
Mm-hmm.
And they fakeness. Did it in rap. Yeah, yeah. And they did it in rapid time as well, which
yeah,
is just like,
yeah.
I saw them and I was like, oh, I remember that. I want to say like 2004, 2005 UK general election where like there was kleptomania and the Lib Dems were on the rise. I remember that. I've seen this before. It's all bullshit.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but there is a, there's a nice little Spanish unionism angle in there as well, which is, I guess, a little bit different. So, yeah, what is your understanding of the seas encapsulated, Uma, as someone who lived through it, who's from ground zero of where the seas started?
Yeah, so it was, as you were saying, their whole shtick was that we are a new party. We're here to break bipartidism? No, I'm not saying
bipartisanship.
Bipartidismo in Spanish, that's why I just translated it weirdly. Yes, to break that, because it's true that on a national level, not on, because in Catalonia we have other parties that also make it to the parliament, but it's, the government is basically always between PP and PSOE. Yeah, so they were like, no, we're here to break that. We're a centrist option. We're either neither leftist nor right wing. We're here for like the sensible people and the you know, people that have their heads on their shoulders and da da da. I mean I was quite young when they, I think I was still a child when they started. I just remember my parents immediately being like calling bullshit and being like,
yeah,
these guys are not like, if you, it's those people are saying, no, I don't do politics or I'm apolitical, and then you start talking to them and it's like, oh, you're like a fascist. You know? I mean, maybe not a fascist, but you know, definitely yeah. not moderate or whatever they want to call themselves.
Yeah, so I think your parents' reaction, I think it also just like is kind of this perfect thing of like another hallmark of, I feel like, of the new suit wearing kind of centrism. Macron, even at the beginning, was very like this of like, going back to the Palantir thing of like, you guys think you're really smart.
Yeah.
And that you think that you've somehow tricked everyone, but then like a good section of the population just has that reactive like shiver down the body of like, no,
yeah. yeah.
whatever this is,
exactly.
I don't like it. Yeah.
Spidey senses ding, you know, like
the same kind of feeling you get when like you realize you're clearly being sold something that
yeah.
you didn't want to be sold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think also one of the main things that people like my parents, like Catalan people that are sympathetic or pro-Catalan independence, is that like people like them felt and saw is that, oh, it's a party created, I think, in Badalona or like Barcelona, like here, mm-hmm. but they're aiming for Spanish politics and they speak Spanish. Like that was already like the whole shtick, their name is literally yeah. in Spanish, Ciudadanos. So it was like, oh, I know what you are. You know what I mean? Like you're okay, yeah, you're Catalan in theory, I think. Andrea, Albert Rivera, I mean Albert is a Catalan name, yeah. I think he's Catalan, and then but your party, everything is in Spanish, so that yeah. already gives you a bit of an insight if you're from here, like where the shots are gonna go, you know, like where yeah.
Yeah,
things are going.
So I'll go through their history, but yes, 100% there is this whole party, I think, reading some left-wing sources in Spanish, nothing in Catalan, forgive me, that was like, this basically acts as a like tactical defense against both simultaneously the left and Catalan independence, mm-hmm. as like a thing that just exists to try and pull people away from those movements in general. So interestingly enough, so this party does start in like 2005, and it is, before I get into the milieu of who founded it, they did actually have their name in Catalan originally. It was Citizens of Catalonia in Catalan. so Ciutadans de Catalunya.
Ciutadans, yeah. De Catalunya.
Thank you. That's exactly what I said.
Yeah, 100%.
100%. The people who started it were a group of like 15 academics, writers, and other figures. So I think immediately off the bat, we're getting that kind of like intellectual, comfortable middle class thing going on, which is also the vibe of this party going forward. Of like, you can have the middle class that is an advocate of change, and then you also have the middle class that's just like, I love the status quo. Status quo is great. Yeah. Including the fact that, like, I think one of the people who started... let me get that name. I'm getting ahead of myself. But like, okay, yeah. So kind of an intellectual fuddy-duddy kind of move. You're like men in sweater vests and shirts kind of thing, who are just like this. They were the statute of autonomy is the thing that they were originally opposing, which was provides Catalonia's basic institutional regulations. Yeah. Under the Spanish constitution. So it's the...
Literally, just against anything that has to do with Catalonia being able to govern itself a little bit more.
Yeah. So at this point in the C's journey, it all feels very letter to the editor, kind of like complaining to a newspaper about an article you saw.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah. So... 2006, there's a referendum on the Statute of Autonomy in Catalonia. And this group gets assaulted by pro-Catalan independence activists. And oh boy, do we thrust ourselves into the limelight after that.
Yeah, it's like the Charlie Kirk assassination. Now they're martyrs, you know?
Yeah.
Now.
So various broadcasters and newspapers in Madrid, probably. Catnip. Delicious.
Oh, yeah. Gobbling it up.
this at this point is when the party has a kind of like their founding conference in July, so the party has existed for a bit, but then they get everyone into the same room and they kind of decide what they are. This is when the name gets changed to Ciudadanos, and we get our first leader, Albert Rivera, or as you say it,
Albert Rivera.
Oh, okay. I was expecting more. I don't think I was criminally far off.
Oh, no, you weren't at all. No, okay. You're fine.
I feel like, though, while he was still a thing, I definitely saw Alberto a couple of times.
That's the thing. Albert is a Catalan name, but I wouldn't be surprised if he tried to sound more Spanish, you know?
Well, it was like, it's either that or like, I also remember this being a big thing way back ago when you first came on the show as a guest and we talked about the rapper who got arrested. His name, I believe, was Pau, like his actual given name was like that. And but then like Spanish media would just keep putting his name in the Chiron as Pablo. Everyone's got like Forrest Castilian or whatever. Like,
exactly. But I wouldn't be surprised if Albert Rivera was okay with it, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like he was like, yes, call me Alberto.
Again, going into the class kind of character of this party, Albert is a, our good friend Al here, is a young lawyer from La Caixa, the bank, right? La Caixa.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
That's a bank, right?
Yes.
That's one of the big ones.
It's like the main one in Catalonia. Yeah.
So he's a lawyer from there. He's chosen as president. He becomes famous overnight via the campaign poster. the one that does frontal assault psychic damage on Uma whenever I bring this up.
Literally. It's like that meme of like, ah! You know, like the flash. For fuck's sake. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to describe what the amazing?
I'll paint you a word picture. The poster, I believe, was called The Naked Lunch, or that was kind of the name as it was referred to. Sure. And the slogan was a party with nothing to hide because
Albert was just born. Like, you can't. Yeah.
Let me show you the party archives that I hand you, like a two-sided printed A4 sheet. Like,
exactly.
So this is Albert Rivera naked on a poster with the slogan "A party with nothing to hide," covering his penis.
Yeah.
And that was just put in front of people's eyes, whether they wanted to see it or not. Yeah.
Yeah, because they were also trying to do this whole thing like, we're not only a new party, we're a young party. Because Albert Rivera was quite young when he became president. So it was also like the, you know, oh, PSOE and PP are for old people. They're like the status quo. So, you know, we're young and hip, and it's just like for me in my head, I know Ciudadanos is older, but like it just feels very like 2013, kind of like the hipster burger places with like disgusting names for the burgers and you have to say the name. It's like Spank Me Daddy or something like that, you know?
I'm sorry, which burger did you want to order?
Yeah, exactly.
Say the name.
Exactly. You're like, the number 3? And they're like, no, you have to say the name. Like, that's the same vibe I get from, like, the poster. Like, I'm just being, like, I feel dirty.
Just like, yes, I would like a Spank Me Daddy hamburguesa. I'm just going to pretend I don't speak English and have no idea what I just said.
Exactly.
Is there any way to salvage the situation politically? So again, of going into, oh man, this reminds me of so much other fucking bullshit. This was the exact same shit with Nick Clegg. Nick Clegg was relatively young. This is also how Volt ever got treated in the media. Like, look at all these young people. What do they stand for? They're young. I'm like, but what do they stand for?
Exactly.
That is interesting, though, at this point, because their immediate political ideology is kind of interesting at this point, which is they originally describe themselves as social democrats, which is interesting.
Sure. Yeah.
And then the nasty little worm here is rearing its head here. They also describe themselves as post-nationalist.
Which
yeah. for anyone missing the context, was a very targeted statement at a certain type of nationalism that existed in the region, and then kind of let off the hook the nationalism that they viewed as default, which was Spanish nationalism. Hmm. Because it's very kind of like, again, the status quo of like, oh, I'm not a nationalist. I was like, oh, so you want to kind of like dismantle the Spanish state? No.
No, we'll be doing that. Yeah. I'm so post-nationalist that I'm just a nationalist. Like, yeah, circle back. Yeah.
What a journey I've been on. Yeah. So then we get into, this is when they kind of like stop being at a certain point they stop being a Catalan party. But this is when they kind of like do the national expansion. This is around mm-hmm. like 2013, as you were right, like the disgusting named burger places. Yeah. So they go to like in around 2015, they like expand to Madrid. Rivera positions himself as the sensible change, a clean alternative from the PP is usually their target at this point, who mm-hmm. they view as being plagued with corruption. Not wrong, but...
Yeah, exactly. Their problem wasn't the PP's politics. It was just the fraud, which is... Yeah, true. PP is like the most corrupt fucking party in the world. Well, not in the world, but certainly in Spain. But yeah, they had no problem with their politics because they had the same.
An interesting little comment comes out around this time in about 2014 from a one Josep Oliu, Oliu. Mm-hmm. And he basically states, we need a Podemos of the right. Now, this man is interesting because this is, at the time, the president of Sabadell Bank.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah. And wouldn't you know it, in around this time, he becomes a huge donor financially to the C's.
In his mind, Podemos is just young people. So he's like, we just need young people, but that align with what I want.
It is also very funny. He's like, we need a Podemos of the right. And it's like, we need a fire that's wet. It's just like, what are you talking about, man?
Exactly. What the fuck?
Yeah, so this kind of... People would point to this quote and his involvement in the party as like, this party is entirely like synthetic, funded by the elites of Spain at the time to kind of counter the anti-austerity movement that basically birthed Podemos. Mm-hmm. And they rode into kind of like any kind of power that they had.
Mm-hmm.
During these years of national expansion, 2017, I believe, is around, is when it drops the word social democracy from all of the internal party statutes. So that's gone. That was stupid. I'm sorry. I was naked on a poster. I don't know what I was doing. I've got one thing to hide.
The fact that I'm not a social democrat. Yeah.
The penis of the party is that we once said we were social democrats. Yeah, so they kind of, this is when they move into more their like openly liberal conservative stance, the quote unquote we're centrist kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when the overt Spanish nationalism stuff starts appearing, because not only do we get the we're against this kind of like thing that gives Catalonia like autonomy, which mm-hmm. is like their whole raison d'etre, even if like the people in, you know, Extremadura who are voting for the C's have forgotten this.
Mm-hmm.
Within Catalonia, they're also like, their local politicians are at this point opposing Catalan immersion schools.
Yep. Well, not even so. It wasn't even immersion schools. It's just that in the public, in like state-owned schools in Catalonia, Catalan is a primary language because we're in Catalonia. obviously everybody speaks Spanish as well. It's not like a child that just moves from South America is going to be like, what the fuck is going on, you know? But the primary language, or not even just the primary, it's just teachers have the right to decide in which language they want to give class.
Okay. Right?
Like, it might be maths, but the teacher is just more used to explaining maths in Spanish, so he's going to give the class in Spanish. Or it's Latin. Like, my Latin teacher spoke Spanish, and she just gave the class in Spanish. But then my psychology teacher was more comfortable doing the class in Catalan, so he would just do it in Catalan. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the right to choose between the two languages.
That is not how they would have described it.
No, they were like, no, the Catalan is being forced down the kids' throats, and like, kids just don't know what's going on because they don't speak Catalan, da 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 da. And this all started because of literally like one court case. Like, some parents that probably were voting Ciudadanos brought this school to justice because they were claiming that their kids were discriminated against because they didn't speak Catalan or some bullshit like that. And then Ciudadanos immediately was like, this is ours. We're going to grab this and run with it and make these people the face of our campaign in Catalonia. Well, not the face, but, you know, like how Catalan is a racist language and how Catalan discriminates against people and like da 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 da. Exclusionary, exactly. And unfortunately, even though Ciudadanos is dead now, still many people view Catalan like that because of the remains of all this bullshit. But yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, we can talk about when we get into the kind of like collapse of Ciudadanos, but I guess the way I view it is that like the vicious face of Spanish nationalism, this kind of like unitary kind of Napoleon nationalism of we're all going to speak the same language, fuck all this like language minority stuff, that was like an evil spirit that at one point like took over this husk that this was, this party. But the party at some point confused themselves thinking that they were the ones in charge, but actually the Spanish nationalism continues. It doesn't need the party. Exactly. The party's gone now. It's fine. We've got Vox, we've got PP, we've like
any other Spanish party is like 100%.
So like we didn't need you for this. This is you thought you were important. You thought you were it's Drake dressed in the NASA uniform. He was like, you thought you were a part of the team, bro. Like,
exactly.
Anyway, it's still that whole thing's insane to me because it seems like it actually seems very reasonable to just be like, the teacher will speak the language they're most comfortable speaking. How many is this number tracked at all? How many monolingual Catalan speakers are there?
Oh, like one probably. No.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's statistics, but I wouldn't be able to tell you right now. But it truly has to be someone like from a very small village in the middle of Catalonia, or like someone, you know what I mean? Like, and 100% they will speak Spanish as well if need be, but maybe they just like there's no person in Catalonia, a Catalan person in Catalonia that also doesn't speak Spanish, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't use it at all, and then it's a bit hard for you to like get in the mode of speaking Spanish. That happens to me as well. I never speak Spanish in my day to day. And then sometimes I've had brain farts because I'm like, you know, like, oh shit, I have to switch between two very similar languages. And sometimes you make mistakes and you laugh and that's fine. But I don't think there's a single person that is truly, truly, truly monolingual.
Yeah, because like I was going to ask, because like the last Irish monolingual speaker like died in the 80s. And like, but he like lived an incredibly solitary life. He was like he was an old man. He was single. He was a fisherman. And all he spent most of his time out in sea. And then when he sold his fish, like at the port, he was able to do that Oscuelga, like in Irish. And thus he just never needed English kind of thing. Yeah, I was just kind of curious because, again, just putting that context out there for how much of this is a real kind of like false boogeyman. If you're like a Spanish speaker in Catalonia, it's fine. Exactly. You'll survive.
Yeah.
So then we get into like the 2017-2019 era, where first we have success in Catalonian politics under A1 Inés Arrimadas. Inés.
Okay, you did. Inés Arrimadas.
Yay.
A fucking bitch of a... I hate her. Because I think I as a person from Catalonia was more exposed to Inés Arrimadas than Albert Rivera, because Albert Rivera merely just went to Madrid, was in like the parliament. He was like the more Spanish side of Ciudadanos. But Inés Arrimadas was like the head of Ciudadanos in Catalonia. So she would be the one being in these schools being like, Catalano oppresses us. And she's just such a piece of shit. I mean, they're all pieces of shit, but I have a special hate in my heart for Inés Arrimadas. Yeah.
And this is during the time in which the attempted referendum is trying to be held. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I'm sure she's also getting a lot of national attention as being the,
voice of reason.
Yeah, you're used to these Catalonians with their baggy pants blaring their hip hop music, but some of them are actually very articulate. Here's one.
Literally. Yeah, she was the doll of like the Spanish media, because it's like, look, this is a Catalan person that speaks Spanish without an accent and just knows common sense, you know, and makes sense when she speaks.
Yeah, she does make me feel bad about what my family did during the Franco years. So she's there, and that's like, this is like a huge electoral success. I think they're the most voted for party in the Catalan regional parliament during this time, probably because people who would vote against this kind of political ideology were just kind of viewing all Spanish democracy as a bit of a sham. So it's a bit of a self-selecting voter base. Mm-hmm. The one big kind of scandal that's maybe forcing people to cop wise to this whole movement is that in 2019, Rivera appears in a photo with the leaders of PP and Vox in a rally in Madrid.
There you go.
Just like on the same side, yeah.
Mask is off.
Yeah.
But this just a quick thing. Like, that's why all these parties are literally the same. They never actually go against each other. They quote unquote personally attack each other. Like, look, this guy in your party is corrupt. You guys are so corrupt. Or this guy is a piece of shit, or like whatever. But like, they have the same politics. Literally, Extremadura, they were local elections a couple weeks ago. And last week, this week, the government was formed because Vox and Pepe agreed. Like, there's so many, especially in the south, there's so many governments of Vox and Pepe. And they're happy as fuck being together. You know what I mean? And it was the same thing with Ciudadanos. They were governments of Ciudadanos and PP, and they were lovely, having a lovely time together, because they had the same politics. They were the same party. It was just that Ciudadanos was capitalizing the whole, like, we are the sensible, we are the voice of the sensible Catalans. I remember, actually, they were literally saying, we are the voice of the many, of the silent many, or something like that.
Oh, silent majority. That's always a classic. Exactly.
Yeah. They were saying that about Catalunya, about the Catalans. And it was the same time, because there was a resurgence in the pro-independence movement with what you were saying, the referendum and massive mobilizations and protests and all of that. They were on the other side of that, capitalizing on that. But yeah, they're the same bullshit as Pepe and Vox as well.
Yeah, and like it's a great little trick, because you get to be the party that's like the where the Catalonian party in favor of Spanish unionism. And yeah. like there's always been PP.
There's the token, you know.
Yeah. yeah. But there's always like but their kind of popularity is a little bit of a mirage to a certain extent, because there's always been PP and PSOE voters in Catalonia. It's just now, due to the circumstances, mm-hmm. they've been forced to take the stand, and now they're all voting for the Cs out of being like negatively polarized by the push for independence. Mm-hmm. So it is just this thing of like, it isn't really the rise of a new party or a new ideology. It's just an existing ideology that's confronted to take, has been forced to take a stand. But like, it's the same number as there always was. This isn't like a growing movement. It's just, they've been given voice.
It's just like, it's a new shiny party. It's like a crow with like, is it crows or like those birds?
Magpies
that love like shiny things. It's like, oh, nice. Okay. I agree with literally everything that they say, because it's the same thing that I've been voting for with Pepe for 40 years or 30 years. But these guys are young and seem like they can maybe change things a little bit. So I'm just going to vote for them. But
and now I don't have to. And like, if you became really polarized in that moment of like, God, I hate Catalonian independence.
Yeah.
PP and PSOE, in your opinion, probably seem distracted by all those other things they have on their like manifesto that has nothing to do with Catalonia. So
exactly,
it's like,
these
guys are focused on this one issue.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're gonna talk about it now, but like I think that's also the main reason why they died, because the momentum for Catalan independence died as well. Like every 9/11 there's a protest, because it's the National Day of Catalonia. It's the National Day of Catalonia, so there's a protest. It used to be like a million people, mind you. There's like 9 million people in Catalonia, like, you know, like it's not a big they were a year like 10 years ago that it was literally like 1 million people on the streets for independence. I don't think you get even like 200K now. You know what I mean? Like it's with other worse things happening, it's just been like put in the back burner. I mean, obviously many people argue that things wouldn't be so bad if Catalonia had the independence and we could like govern ourselves, etc. Of course. Anyway, but in the sense that like it's not so much in your face anymore. So then these people that were voting Ciudadanos, because they were the ones against, like the Catalan ones against this, now they're like, oh, I don't care about this anymore because it's not in my face anymore. You know?
No longer the trend. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm just going to go back to good old Pepe. You know?
Or actually, new options on the table. Now. Vox.
Exactly.
I can't remember. It was in around the time, I think, God, this would have been 2021, 2020 or something, that like Ciudadanos marched with Vox against the Catalan language in schools.
Yeah.
So
I'm not surprised.
Well,
that's the thing.
Yeah. a very metaphor of just like handing on the baton or whatever, like passing the torch to this next generation of heinous politics.
So
2019, should say, this is the peak of the C's success in national government. They get 57 seats in the Congress of Deputies. So again, going on the rightward turn, when government was being formed, Albert refused to speak with PSOE.
What a petty bitch. I can't. What a weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like, I'm a centrist party, but I'm not going to work with the center left in any capacity.
I'm a centrist party, but I'm just going to work with one of them.
I'm going to work. Cool. Like, they were literally talking about like the way like Denmark has the like bloc politics of like there's the red bloc and the blue bloc, and they it's multiple parties, but they're vaguely left and right. They were talking about that for Spain, and the right bloc was the C's, Pepe, and Vox working together.
Yeah.
And I think this was like this was considered fine because it was like Vox was at this point only getting like two seats or something, and it was like, ah, what are they gonna do? And you know,
surprise,
whoopsie doozy. What is the Spanish for oh spaghettio?
Oh spaghetti, no, I don't know. Espaghetti.
In 2019, at the end of this kind of like peak period, the party is rocked by a voter fraud scandal during its internal primaries in Castilla y León. It was discovered that hundreds of ghost votes were cast for the leadership's preferred candidate, who was a one Silvia Clemente. The fraud was exposed, forcing a recount that handed the win to a one Francisco Igea. Yeah, there's just like weird corruption happening in the autonomy because that no one's paying attention
imagine
to
being,
because it's not like...
Imagine being hated so much by your own party that they just do ghost votes for the other person to win. Francisco, yeah. Love yourself a little bit more. Go to Pepe.
There's probably more money in it.
Yeah,
100%. So 2019 onwards gets to the collapse period. Which I find fascinating because it just happened so fucking quickly. In November of 2019, they blocked a government from forming and forced a repeat election in November of 2019. There was a lot of jokes in the media about like, oh, Spain's having a lot of elections. These ones keep happening over and over again. They can't make a government, which... has very much, you know, that stopped happening, and it also went away because Bulgaria's had 8 elections in like 3 years. So like they were quickly outshone by another country. But the Cs were kind of viewed at this election as just being like wreckers, basically. Hmm. And they went from their peak of 57 seats to 10. In the snap election that they effectively forced.
Nobody likes petty bitches, you know? Like, yeah. Everybody was just like, stop blocking everything. Stop this. And they just switched to Pepe and Vox.
Oh, my God. In 2021, after this has all happened, the Cs attempted a surprise vote of no confidence with the PSOE.
I remember this.
in the government of Murcia. The PP allegedly bought off 3 Cs local deputies, which, you know, made it so that this vote of no confidence didn't go through. And caused these 3 Cs deputies to vote against their own party and not vote with the rest of the Cs. And this kind of wrecked the Cs' reputation in the state in Murcia as being like a bunch of people who were bought off. I think one of those people who was like allegedly bought is now in the PP. So
yeah, most likely.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, I think it was also like what we were saying ages ago when we were talking about Olaf Scholz and like the SPD and stuff. Like, it doesn't work to be a centrist because there's always going to be like how Olaf Scholz was trying to be like pander to the right, to the far right. Right. It's like, no, that they already have their party for that.
Yeah.
And I think that with Ciudadanos trying to hold on to that bullshit of being center-right, centrist, people were just like, oh, what's this new party making some noise called Vox with their leader riding horses with the soundtrack of fucking Lord of the Rings. Which is a thing, by the way, for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. I believe it.
I mean, we've talked about this. For some reason, fascists love Tolkien and the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Absolutely. There are different types of people, and they are basically different species. I love this fantasy world.
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I am... Yeah, it's a thing that just doesn't work. It is really just like, never vote centrist. Like, the C's are a gateway drug to voting Vox. Exactly. Yeah. Like, they might, like I said, like we were talking about earlier, they march together. Like, I got to totally imagine, like, hey, I'm paying attention to the Ciudadanos Facebook group. There's a march going on. I'm going to, oh, what's this new party? Ooh, interesting. Let me take your literature.
Yeah. Like, let me take
me
your
5 years later.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a phalangist now.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. Yeah, so at this point, after this disastrous, like, few years, Rivera resigns and immediately leaves politics for the private sector, specifically a law firm called, oh my God, it's named, it's two Spanish names, Martinez Echevarria.
Martinez Echevarria.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, which later ended in a particular legal dispute, and I find this very funny. Did you know about this legal dispute?
No.
Okay. So, after leaving politics, Rivera joined a law firm with a multi-million euro contract. 2 years later, he was fired for, quote, low productivity.
Oh, there you fucking go.
Rivera then sued this company, this law firm, for breach of contract, while the firm accused him of being, quote, lazy, being a, quote, lazy hire who only wanted to trade on his name.
Well, duh, why the fuck did you hire him? Like, you hired him for his fucking,
it was a celebrity
name.
Hire. Yeah.
Yeah, literally.
No one's looking at the new update of Instagram being like, oh, I bet you Nick Clegg did a lot to make this happen.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. So Inez, actually, you know, the head of the Catalonian kind of like wing of this party, regional wing of this party, she takes over from Rivera afterwards, but the party fails to recover. There's disastrous results in the 2023 regional election, and then the party decided not to run in national elections, entering into what some outlets I read called a clinical death. Which is, it's worth pointing out how much this is a collapse. It was only around for like less than two decades, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It currently has no seats in Spanish Congress, no seats in the Senate, no seats in the European Parliament, no seats in any regional parliaments. They have 392 local politicians out of a total 67,611 available local politician seats in the entire nation of Spain.
Losers.
Yeah. Relatively recently, though, that they completely fell out because European politics is on such a like delay. It was the last European elections in 2024 that saw them be completely unseated. That was the last thing they were holding on to, the two MEP seats that they had. And we all look, okay, Marine Le Pen gets her party in trouble for doing this, but every political party is siphoning EU money that they get to their MEPs into national politics. That is what that is for. I think also that was literally Marine Le Pen's defense of like, we're all doing this.
Oh my God. I am looking up what Inés Arrimadas is doing now.
Oh yeah.
Because I got curious. And she's just communications officers for like, what's it called? Recurrent Energy. Whatever the fuck that means.
Mm.
Anyway, she's just, I have another fake job, yeah, somewhere, I guess.
Sure. Well, at least she doesn't have to like sue her former. That's embarrassing.
That's so
fucking
embarrassing.
Hell.
What a weirdo. Oh.
I have two other things to hit you with of like the C's lovely little history.
Mm-hmm.
They've been in some trouble with the Court of Auditors.
Okay, go on.
Who frequently flag irregularities in the C's accounting, particularly during their expansion years of when they went out into like the rest of outside of Catalonia kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's got into like Madrid politics. There's basically no transparency in how any of the local SEAS groups got funded. And then, you know, big old left-wing sources would point back to that Sabadell mm-hmm. Bankman quote. Mm-hmm. Being like,
yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Then a high profile SEA politician, one Tony Canto. Yeah. Do you know him? Tony Canto. Song.
Sang. He sang. Yeah.
Tony sang. That sounds sad. That sounds like he died. So he's kind of a big deal. He defected from the SEAS to PP. He's one of the kind of like rats that left the ship. Mm-hmm. And during the last PP government before Sanchez took over, he was given a what most people kind of viewed as a phony baloney job, mm-hmm. Which was he was put in charge of the Office of Spanish, the language.
Sure, you know what? You go. Okay, cool. See, yeah, that's exactly the vibes. That's just the SEAS vibes, you know. Mm.
Anyway. That's basically the entire party. I think if I can find that photo again, I'd love to. I wish I had saved it somewhere, but there was, I want to say it was in a local chapter somewhere in Valencia for mm-hmm. the SEAS, where they had to have it in a McDonald's, like the meeting of like the remaining members of the SEAS in that whatever.
I remember that. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. That's wow.
Perfect encapsulation of like this party's decline.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Christ. Well, anyway, as the SEAS, a party I'm fascinated with, mostly because if your country ever gets like a centrist party, just read this party's Wikipedia page. Hmm. That's what's about to happen to you.
Yeah. If you can bet on the downfall, do it. Put some money.
I do want to revisit this possibly with Nick on the episode because like I've been seeing a lot of what the FTP have been doing. And it's they've not been handling their loss. Their post Lindner year as well.
They're gonna have a meeting at
Nordsee or something like.
I was
here at the back of the Nordsee.
Yeah, exactly.
We're so far into the back rooms of the Nordsee, it's become an Otaku's dark kitchen. they're struggling to get people out. I saw like one FTP influencer and he's just like a gym bro guy and he's like, the three things I want is like, what was it, smoke weed, lower taxes, gay people to get married, and to like send more money to Ukraine. And I'm like, those 3 points, the first three, mm-hmm. were what the FTP was campaigning back in like the 2000s.
Yeah.
Right? They were like for legalization and gay marriage, right?
Yeah.
Now that both of those things exist in Germany, there's just very little they offer. And they're just trying to weirdly wedge in like more money to Ukraine as like an issue for them. They seem in their doldrums. I don't know. I'll have to look into it. Mm. But we've gone long and. Hey, Eurovision, numero seis, unofficial title, Blood in the Telly, because there is, as of time of recording, about like a quarter of the tickets are gone already. Nice. We have limited spaces, it's a small venue, €20, all money for Heal Palestine, 16th of May, 8 p.m. in Film Archa. Come on down, have some fun. Get drunk. Shake my hand.
I thought you were going to say shake ass. I mean,
also shake ass.
If you want.
You're a good point. Shake ass.
Shake some ass.
Shake some ass. And with that, we will catch you on the bonus feed.
Bye-bye.